Good morning. If you would like to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, that is the first passage we will look at here in our lesson this morning. Luke chapter 2. This time of year, there are many individuals in this country and in others throughout the world who are celebrating the Christmas holiday, and there are a lot of ways in which Christmas is celebrated that don't have really any religious connection. But there are many ways in which individuals celebrate Christmas throughout the religious world, in which they are worshiping God in what they are doing. And because of this, there's a lot of questions that come up for Christians concerning how do we approach the Christmas holiday, what is and is not acceptable for us to participate in as it relates to the Christmas holiday. And I want to consider some things related not only to Christmas but to holidays in general as we look at our lesson here this morning. If we break down that word holiday into its two basic parts, it's the word holy and the word day. And so we understand that holidays, the very term, originated from individuals setting aside certain days that are intended to be holy days. And many holidays that are celebrated, such as Christmas, Easter, Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day, Halloween, these all have some religious connection. There are individuals, as I understand it, who celebrate any of those days as religious celebrations and worship God in certain ways on those days. And so there's a lot for us to consider with holidays in general as we think about the question of worshiping God in special ways that man has devised on particular days of the year. And I want to look at some things in Scripture to try to better understand how God views those particular practices. But I first just want to note some things as we think specifically about Christmas that help us to see some of the dangers related to Christmas, especially as it relates to misunderstandings related to particular biblical events that some of the practices around Christmas relate to. The word Christmas, if we break down that particular word and divide it into its two parts, we have the word Christ and the word Mass. And so as I understand it, the word Christmas originates from the fact that the Catholic religion came up with this particular day, December 25th, as a day in which it was decided to have a Mass for Christ. And when you put those two words together, you come up with the word Christmas. And I believe that's the origin of that word. But many individuals celebrate Christmas not only as a Mass for Christ, as some religious groups do, but some individuals celebrate Christmas specifically as the day that Jesus was born. And as we think about that, we want to understand what Scripture has to say about this and what it doesn't say about this. We see over in Luke chapter 2, some things said about the birth of Jesus. And we'll notice there in verses 7 and 8 of Luke chapter 2, it says there, "She, speaking of Mary, gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a feeding trough because there was no room for them in the inn." And then verse 8 goes on to say, "There were shepherds in the field," or in the same country rather, "staying in the field and keeping watch by night over their flock." Many students of the Bible have turned to this verse and made the point that it's very unlikely that Jesus was born as late in the year as December 25th, because it mentions here the shepherds staying in the field and keeping watch by night over their flock. And some who have studied history have pointed out that in that time and place, the shepherds would have been doing this earlier on in the year and not during the month of December. Regardless, though, of whether that rules out December 25th or not, the greatest likelihood of December 25th being the birthday of Jesus is really 1 in 365, because there's nothing in Scripture that tells us specifically when the birth date of Jesus was in terms of the day of the year. And so even if December 25th is not ruled out, it's no more likely that he was born on December 25th than any other day of the year. The point is, there's just nothing in Scripture that tells us the specific day of the year that Jesus was born on. And so it wouldn't be appropriate for Christians to celebrate December 25th as the birthday of Jesus when we stop and consider that there's nothing in Scripture that tells us that that is his day of birth. But there's some other misconceptions that we see brought out around the birth of Jesus that are noticed particularly during this time of year. And some of those misconceptions surround the wise men who came to visit Jesus, as we see in Matthew chapter 2. I want to notice something that is said in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11 as we think about these wise men and what the Scripture teaches about them. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11, it says there, they, speaking of these wise men, it says, they came into the house and saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So notice there it says, these wise men came into the house. It doesn't say that they found Jesus in the manger. We learn from Luke's account that it was the shepherds who found Jesus in the manger, but it mentions here the wise men came into the house. There's also no mention here in Matthew chapter 2 of how many wise men there were. There's no mention of them being kings. We see a lot that is brought out in the religious world this time of year related to these wise men that's just not taught in Scripture. Some of it contradicts what's taught in Scripture, and some of it is just not said one way or the other. But the point is that there's a lot of different ideas that come out around this time of year surrounding the birth of Jesus that we want to be careful about. We want to be careful that we don't mix the teachings of men as it relates to the birth of Jesus with what God teaches in his Word. God gives us the account of Christ's birth, and that's what we should be focused on, and be careful that we don't see things as the world sees them if it contradicts with what God says in his Word. But the real, perhaps, major issue with Christmas that we want to focus on for much of the remainder of the lesson, and I want to consider some principles that relate not only to Christmas, but also to other holidays that are celebrated and observed in a religious way, is the question of whether or not we are, one is worshiping God in a way that God has not authorized, if he or she observes certain holidays in a way that is religious, as many religious groups do. We want to recognize as we think about worship that God has given us a pattern in his Word concerning how he wants to be worshiped, and he has shown us that he wants us to follow that pattern that he has given us in his Word. If you look over in John chapter 4, in John chapter 4 and in verse 24, Jesus there was speaking to the Samaritan woman in that chapter, and she had some observations, perhaps some questions about worship and where the proper place was to worship. And in Jesus' response to her, part of his response, he told her in verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And we pointed out from that verse before that there are three key things brought out here in this verse about worship. Number one, Jesus says those who worship him, and the him refers back to God. And so we understand from this verse that worship is to be directed towards God. Number two, it says must worship him in spirit, meaning our worship must be sincere. It must come from a genuine heart. And then number three, those who worship God must worship him in truth. And we understand from Jesus' prayer in John 17 that God's word is truth. Worshiping God in truth means worshiping God according to the instruction that he has given us through his word. It is imperative for us when we consider any worship of God to ask the question, is this something that is authorized by him? And there are some who may ask the question, though, if we agree that Jesus is the Son of God and we believe in God, if we agree upon that and we put our heads together and we think of some ways that seems good to us to worship God, would God really have a problem with that? It doesn't seem in the eyes of some like he would. But it's important for us to take seriously what God says about following his pattern for worship and to realize that just because we're worshiping God doesn't mean that we are pleasing him through that worship. We see over in Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15 and in verse 9, as Jesus there was responding to some scribes and Pharisees who were binding some of their traditions as God's requirements, specifically as it related to washing hands before eating bread, but he makes some broader application of this as well. But he tells them there, or speaks of them there in verse 9, saying, "In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine rules made by men." And so notice there from that verse that it is very possible for us to worship God in vain. And in this particular instance, this vain worship is rooted in the fact that the scribes and Pharisees, instead of looking to what God said, they were looking to their own rules and their own thoughts and their own ideas instead of just simply teaching what God taught and practicing and observing what he taught religiously. Instead, we see that they were coming up with their own ideas of proper ways to worship him. And so it's possible for us to worship God in vain. It's possible for us to have worship that is viewed in the eyes of God as self-imposed worship. If you notice a statement said over in Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 23, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 23, there, the inspired apostle was speaking about some Jewish traditions and laws being bound as God's commands under the law of Christ. And as he referenced these things, he said there in verse 23, "These things indeed appear like wisdom in self-imposed worship." That's an interesting statement there. "These things indeed appear like wisdom and self-imposed worship." And we might think about this phrase when we see different things being done in the name of religion that man has decided would be a good idea, but we don't find any basis for in the Word of God. We might think about this statement here of the Holy Spirit in Colossians 2:23. "There are some things that in the eyes of God may indeed appear like wisdom," at least in the eyes of men, "but in the eyes of God, these things are self-imposed worship. These things are not worship that actually came from him and is thus based on truth, but rather it's self-imposed, meaning mankind decided for himself this would be a good idea. It's not something that actually came from God." And so we pointed this out to help us get a basis for understanding some problems associated with celebrating religiously certain, or observing religiously certain holidays such as Christmas, Because if God had shown us through His Word that it's acceptable to just worship Him however we please, then there wouldn't really be anything for us to be concerned about. But that's not the case. God has shown us in His Word that He has given us a pattern, and He expects us when we worship Him to worship Him in truth and not to worship Him according to our own self-imposed worship. So with that basis, and now I want to dig into some things related to celebrating holidays. And I want to go ahead and point out before we dig into this that I'm talking here, first of all, about celebrating holidays in a religious way. We'll talk in just a few minutes about celebrating holidays in non-religious ways, and we'll notice some things that might help us understand how God sees that. But I'm talking here about celebrating holidays in religious ways. We're talking about why is it that this church here doesn't put on a play every year around Christmas time to commemorate the birth of Jesus? Or why is it that we don't have some special services on Christmas Day and have a nativity scene here, or have a holiday concert or something to that effect? We're talking about what we do religiously, what we observe religiously here in these first few points. And as we think about this, it's interesting to notice something that is said by the Holy Spirit over in Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4, in verses 10 and 11, Galatians chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, the inspired apostle here was addressing some Christians who were allowing Judaizers to influence them for bad. And these Judaizers were insisting that they needed to keep Sabbath days and certain Jewish feasts and things such as this in order to be pleasing to God. And so they were beginning to accept these things and practice these things religiously, it appears. And notice what they are told in Galatians 4, verses 10 and 11. It says, "You observe days, months, seasons, and years. I am afraid for you that I might have wasted my labor for you." So notice here, he speaks about certain days and months and times and years, or seasons and years, that these individuals were observing religiously. I don't believe the problem here was that they had certain traditions that were just a part of their culture that they celebrated in non-religious ways. We'll look at some things related to that more in just a few minutes. But I believe here he was making reference to the fact that they were keeping Sabbaths as if this is required by God under the law of Christ. Or they might have been keeping some Jewish feasts as if this is required by God under the law of Christ. And he deals with this problem throughout the epistle to the Galatians, and he points out this is a different gospel. It's really not another gospel. It's just a perversion of the true gospel if you allow yourselves to be led astray by these Judaizers. And so as we think about how this relates to holidays, if we are observing holidays in a religious way, as many of the religious groups around us do, God may turn to us and say the same things that he said to the Galatian brethren here. "You observe days, months, seasons, and years. I'm afraid of you that I might have wasted my labor for you. Why are you worshiping me in all these ways that I've not commanded at all? These ways that I've said nothing about?" God has given us, as we see in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, all things that pertain to life and godliness. And when it comes to how to worship Him, He's given us everything we need to know. He's not left us to come up with our own thoughts and ideas of, okay, what do we think would be a good way to specially remember His Son once a year? What do we think would be a good way to specially remember His Son's resurrection each year? He's not left us to put our heads together and try to decide what do we think would be best. He's given us exactly what we need to know in order to understand how to worship Him. And He's not told us anything about worshiping Him religiously in the way that many groups do around this time of year. In fact, He's not actually said anything at all about Christmas or about Easter. There's no place in Scripture where the word Christmas appears. There's no place in Scripture where the word Easter appears either. Now, I'll make a side point on this as we think about the word Easter. If you have the King James Version of the Bible, in Acts chapter 12 and verse 4, you'll see the word Easter used there in that verse, but that's a mistranslation. If you have just about any other translation, you'll see the word Passover there, and that Greek word that's translated Easter in the King James Version of Acts 12:4, it's used 28 other times in the New Testament, and the King James translators translated it as Passover every other time, but for whatever reason, they chose to translate it as Easter there in Acts chapter 12 and verse 4. But I believe that's a mistranslation. There's no place where the translations generally have the word Easter in Scripture, and there's no place in Scripture where the word Christmas appears either. There's just nothing at all that God says about wanting to be worshiped in a special way on December 25th or on a Sunday in the spring that is agreed upon. There's just nothing in Scripture where God teaches about wanting to be worshiped in a special way on those days. He's told us what we need to know about worshiping Him, and He's not included anything about that. Now, there's some clarifying points I want to make as we think about celebrating holidays. It can be almost like trying to walk a tightrope on some of these points, to make the points that Scripture makes without going too far in the other direction and being misunderstood. So I want to make some clarifying points on this as we think about celebrating holidays. None of this is saying that it's wrong to celebrate holidays in non-religious ways. You might be in the habit of putting up a Christmas tree each year, or passing out gifts on Christmas, or sending out Christmas cards, something to that effect. And I don't believe there's anything in Scripture that says that can't be done if we're celebrating Christmas in a non-religious way, a secular way, we might also say. I don't believe there's anything in Scripture that implies that that would be wrong. We see some principles brought out that might help us to understand how to deal with questions around how we can and cannot celebrate Christmas. We see some principles brought out over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that relate to this. And I'm not going to read this whole passage for the sake of time, but if you get a chance sometime to read there verses 14 through 33 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you'll see in that passage some things taught in connection with meat that's been sacrificed to idols, and when it is and isn't okay to eat that meat. And the gist of it is, he points out in the first few verses of that passage, don't eat the meat that's been sacrificed to idols if doing so will cause you to take part in these pagan feasts. He tells him there in verse 20, he says, I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And it says there, and I don't desire that you would have fellowship with demons. So he points out in those first few verses there that if you are a partaker in some way in these pagan feasts, it says you shouldn't be doing that, that's wrong. But he goes on to point out, this meat that's been sacrificed to idols, the meat itself is not sinful, and so it's not wrong for you to eat it, so long as doing so is not causing you to take part in these feasts that are not authorized by God. And then he goes on to point, there's one other situation where you want to be careful about eating this meat, and that is when doing so will potentially cause you to be a stumbling block to someone else. And he illustrates that in verse 28 and continues to talk about that towards the end of that chapter. And so I point this out just to help us see some things that we might bear in mind as we think about celebrating holidays. Again, it's not wrong in itself to celebrate these things and to do so in non-religious ways and not take part in unauthorized worship, but just be having certain traditions that we do and in a non-religious way. So it's not wrong in itself. We do want to bear in mind, though, if we're doing something that might be a stumbling block to someone else, we want to do the best we can to try to not lead that person astray in some way and be thoughtful of that person and think about how we might be influencing them so as to not hurt their conscience or cause them to stumble in some way. And so we want to recognize as we think about celebrating holidays that it wouldn't be wrong to celebrate holidays in a non-religious way. And someone also might make the point on this, well, is it wrong to think about and be thankful for the birth of Christ and for Him coming into the world on Christmas Day? And of course, it wouldn't be wrong to think about that and be thankful for that on Christmas Day. But a point we might consider on that is we can be thinking of Christ's birth and Him coming into the world and being thankful of that. We can think about that any day of the year, just as much as on Christmas Day. There's nothing in God's Word that says that it's more pleasing to Him if we are thankful for Christ on Christmas Day than any other day of the year. We can be thankful for Christ every day. And we can meditate on Christ coming into the world and what that means every day, not just on Christmas Day. Someone also might ask the question, well, what about if we are coming together as a church, if Christmas happens to fall on a Sunday or a Wednesday, and we come together as a church and we sing songs of praise that relate to the birth of Jesus, songs like Hark the Herald Angels Sing or songs like Joy to the World, what about something like that? And again, there wouldn't be anything wrong with singing those songs on Christmas Day, and we could please God singing those songs. But again, we could please God any day of the year singing those songs, not just Christmas Day. It's just as pleasing to Him if we do that in June or in August. There's nothing that He commands that shows us He would rather be worshipped in ways that bring to remembrance the birth of Jesus on Christmas Day more so than any other day. The same could be said for reading passages like Matthew 2 and Luke 2. Nothing wrong with doing that on Christmas Day. Nothing wrong with doing that any day. It's always profitable to have scripture readings and to sing songs of praise to God and so forth. And it's fine, of course, to do that on Christmas Day, but same is true any other day of the year. And so what we want to understand as we think about holidays, and I've placed a lot of emphasis here on Christmas specifically, but these principles we're looking at tie in not just with Christmas, but with other holidays as well, that we just want to be careful that we're not worshiping God in ways that are unauthorized. Because I believe there's a lot of religious groups this time of year doing that, and we want to be very careful that we are not giving in to that and that we are, if we're celebrating Christmas, that we're doing so in non-religious ways and not thinking that there's something special in the eyes of God about December 25th above any other day. But one last point I want to make as we consider this topic is to recognize that when it comes to remembering Christ specifically, first of all, we might remember Christ, should remember Christ, in a general sense, every day of our lives, and that includes Christmas Day. But when it comes to what God says about having a special time that we set aside for remembering Christ, He's prescribed exactly what we need to know, or He's revealed exactly what we need to know in order to understand what His will is concerning that. And it ties in with what He has said about the Lord's Supper. If you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, And I'll read verses 23 through 26. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26 says, "For I received of the Lord, which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, This is my body which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come." And so God has set up for us a time in which we are to specially remember the life of Jesus, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. And that is when we partake of the Lord's Supper. That is a special time of worship when we are specifically to remember Christ. And it's ironic that there are some religious groups who put lots of time and effort into Christmas plays and skits and concerts and don't partake of the Lord's Supper in the way that God commands, because what happens in that situation is groups end up worshiping God in ways he hasn't commanded, but not worshiping God in ways he has commanded. And it would be ironic for someone to do that. But we want to be careful that we just understand that God has given us what we need to know about how he wants to be worshiped. And he has set aside a time for special remembrance of Christ. But that time is when we partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. And we know it's the first day of the week because of the example that we have over in Acts 27 when the disciples at Troas came together on the first day of the week to break bread. And break bread, as we've looked at before in that context, I believe has reference to the Lord's Supper. And so there is a time God set aside for special remembrance of Christ, and it's the first day of the week as we partake of the Lord's Supper. So I hope this lesson has helped us as we understand some questions, the answers that God would give to some questions that come up relating to not only Christmas but other holidays and how God views these things. Said before, it can be like walking a tightrope sometimes trying to figure out, would this be acceptable or would this be acceptable? But there's definitely some things that God's revealed in his word about what happens when groups worship him in ways he's not authorized, what happens when groups come up with certain days that they decide are appropriate to worship God in certain ways. And we see some things taught in Scripture about how he views that. And I hope that looking at these things can help us understand a little bit more about how God would view Christmas and other holidays that come up, and questions that we might have concerning them. There's a lot of other questions we could have around Christmas and holidays, and if there's anything you'd like to ask as a clarifying question, please feel free to ask after services, and I can try to clarify if something that's been said is not, if I didn't explain it very well. But I hope this has helped us to see a little bit more about what God has to say about Christmas and holidays in general, and how we should approach them. There might be some here this morning who are not yet Christians. And if you're in that situation, we would encourage you to think about your soul's condition and think about what would happen if Christ was to return today. It could happen today just as much as any other day. And we'd encourage you to think about what condition your soul would be in if you are left standing before him, not prepared, because you've not done what he requires to receive forgiveness of your sins. It'll be a sad, sad state that many will find themselves in. And we encourage everyone here to do what is needed to ensure that you'll be right with God. If Jesus was to return today, we want you to be ready. We want everyone to be ready. And if you're not yet a Christian, but you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you're willing to confess that, you're willing to turn from your sin in repentance, and be buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of your sins, to then arise to walk in newness of life. And we'd encourage you to let that be known. If you're someone who is a Christian who is struggling with something in your life that you'd like to ask for the prayers of the congregation, we can help you with that as well. And so if you are here and you are subject to the invitation, we'd encourage you to come forward as together we stand and sing.